We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you.
This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Kuralt, CBS News of WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Ruth Sandbiston on The Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Kemp.
Thanks for watching this week's NC Spin.
Now, here is Dave Kaiser.
Hi-yo, well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yours truly, Sam Beard
and Jim Reed
and Carl Gert.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harry Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Ennis standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Capps. For the nocturne, we send as
this is Bill Hope.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingdom Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dill here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show. And this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters. WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raw.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hef Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
I'm Mike Raley, the Weekend Gardener. Welcome in, everybody.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
And now Mike Raley, Executive Mansion Grounds Curator Gerald Adams, and North Carolina Attorney General, Secretary of State, and current Secretary General of Gardening for the Tar Heel State, Rufus Edmiston.
When he's drinking, why, he can talk the ears off in a wooden ending.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Well, thank you very much.
Has anybody ever told you that?
Oh, my goodness.
That was an actor named Suge something. He was in, that was a cut. That cut came from the man who shot Liberty Valance. But this guy was in everything, but he was a performer. He was a singer. But he was in a lot of Westerns. You'd recognize him. I'll show you a picture of him. But that was a thing. They were in a barroom scene with Jimmy Stewart trying to get him to run for territorial representative, and who he was talking about there was the editor of the newspaper. When he's drinking,
talking about Rufus Edmonds.
when he's drinking, he could talk to paint off a wooden Indian. So,
well, which by the way, that is a great movie. That is a great.
It's
movie.
One of my favorite. Yeah. One of my favorite movies.
I think it's time for the Cliff Joyner saying of the day.
Cliff Joyner is a childhood friend of mine who has now become famous because he gave us these books with little sayings in them and address books and stuff. Well, go ahead, Rufus.
He says, if your ship doesn't come in, rush out to it. Rush out and meet it. If it doesn't come in, rush out and meet it.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the Cliff Joyner of the day. It was said by Jonathan Winters, though, by the way.
Jonathan Winters said that?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
One of my favorite comedians.
Mike, while we got a second, can I ask Rufus?
You can ask him. You can ask anybody anything you want to.
Okay. Mr. Rufus, do you remember the first time we met? Not today.
Well, Rufus has met everybody.
Well, I'm sure I was at the station probably doing something with Tim Boyan. I do remember meeting you. And
do you remember me almost hitting you with a door?
Oh, my God. Oh, my Lord. We laughed and laughed and laughed about that.
Yeah, I was racing at the time where the weather center was at. I could see out the window. How novel idea that the meteorologist could actually see out.
That's good. That's a great thing. But nice touch.
There was a storm out there, and, you know, we do weather every 10 minutes, so I was racing in between weathers to get outside and take a picture. Well, it was after 6 o'clock, so I didn't expect anybody to be in the foyer area. So I hit that door, and it flew open.
And that foyer, it's like a prison, that foyer.
You just killed a historic figure.
And here comes that door open and almost knocked me down.
Thank goodness.
I said, man, I thought to myself, this guy's in a hurry.
And after the show that night, Tim pulled me off to one side and said, do you have any idea who you almost ran over? I said, yeah, that was Rufus Edmonston, but there was a cool storm outside.
The weather comes first.
In the weather, yeah.
How about that? Well, just about everything has happened. But it's not the first time that you've been somebody's threatened to knock you down or something.
Well, not a cop.
Some of your opponents.
A very famous weatherman, a meteorologist. And by the way, Gary, I have to tell you, Hap Hansen was the dearest, most wonderful man in the world.
He was a broadcaster many years ago at WPTF.
And he took his chance one time at him. Being a weatherman for that news station, what was it, Mike?
It was WPTF-TV. It was back in the early 80s.
And we were down this basement one day, and I was attorney general, and I knew Hap. I'd helped him with a little matter. I said, Hap, I'd like to help you do the weather one time. Well, you won't believe how arcane. This was a picture on the wall with wooden magnets.
Yeah.
Magnets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we pushed, and I got to pull them around here and there. And I said, okay, there's a storm over here. Pick the magnet up, put it over here. Had you ever heard of such a thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I got into the business as we were transitioning into weather computers. As a matter of fact, I have a magnet on my refrigerator that had come off of the magnetic boards that they used to do weather at WLOS.
Yeah.
Compared to what we have today, I mean, we didn't have lightning tracker. We didn't have live radar like we do now. And how you fill 2.5 or 3 minutes with one map with magnets on it, I
don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't know. Well
Hap was the
Hap was a good ad libber.
Blind leading the blind. And I said, well, Hap, what I do? He said, move that one over there to Cincinnati.
Well, you were just playing, right? You had everybody confused.
It was on the air, though.
Okay.
Totally on the air.
Well, that's great. I'm sure everybody appreciated it.
I'm sure they said, that's enough of that.
You know, there is you can probably find it on YouTube, of John Lennon doing the weather.
Hmm.
And I don't know if it was at a New York station. I assume it was for a New York station. I saw it recently.
Wow.
So you could probably find that on YouTube or someplace. And so he's moving blocks around too. And he's talking about that's the west wind, and it ends up on the floor, and he throws it down on the floor or something. And it's just,
well, you know, it wasn't
typical John Lennon.
Yeah, it's just amazing about technology. It seems like it was the mid-70s that was going on. That wasn't that long ago.
No, it was going on into the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, the weather computers didn't really come online until the early mid 80s. That's the time frame. I mean, think about it today. I mean, there are a lot of TV stations that use a green or a blue screen. And what it is, it's there's a screen behind you. It's not the weather map.
Right.
And you have monitors on either side of that screen, mm-hmm. so you can see. I mean, it's the same special effects that they used back in the day, like when they made Star Wars.
Sure.
They shot those X-wing fighters and Y-wing fighters on a blue screen, and then super imprinted space in the Death Star and whatnot.
So when you're pointing to that map on the wall, it's almost like you're touching it.
Basically, but here's the deal with my new weather center, I call it new, we've had it for about 6 years now, that's a 13-foot monitor. I'm actually looking at a TV screen. That's actually a monitor behind me, so we're transitioning into, instead of a green screen, a big monitor. Now, yeah, every once in a while I bump it, and the engineering staff doesn't like it because it messes it up, but a lot of TV stations are still using what we call green screen or chroma key.
Right.
And yeah, like I said, there's a monitor on either side, and the meteorologist is actually looking at the monitor to figure out where to point, and it's like chewing gum and skipping rope at the same time. It takes a little practice. But now, like I said, with what I have in my Raleigh Weather Center right now, that's
a regular TV screen.
That's a big 13-foot
monitor. So when you point at this one, you're pointing at it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Makes it easier. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He did it at WPIV Channel 6 in Philadelphia. He did the weather. Mm-hmm. So you can Google that and see that.
Oh, my.
Hey, John Lennon doing the weather. How about that?
And all right, they were magnetic blocks,
about? Yeah, they were blocked, looked like HAPS set up.
HAPS had no more training in the weather than I did, but.
No, HAP was, you know, just a versatile broadcaster. He did the overnight country show on PTF. It was so unlike everything else on PTF, but we had a country show, and people all over the South listened to HAP.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Every drunk in the world was on it. And
yeah. And we had, a lot of celebrities.
I take that back, all my good friends out there. You weren't drunk.
No. It wasn't. But Hap had a lot of. I mean, it was a request show, and so Hap was. It was an amazing period.
But you know, getting back to the whole weather thing, you know, the transition to meteorologists doing weather on TV stations, that really took hold in the 80s, because a lot of times there were. I mean, in my early days growing up in Dunn, the people that were doing weather were weather people.
Right. Bob DeBartolaven.
Yeah.
Skip Carpenter.
Yeah.
Skip's
one of the first ones I remember.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Brother Billy at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh. We'll find out what's happening there. Here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener, it's 10:19. Okay, we're back on WPTF, 1023. Mike Raley here, along with Johnny Coley, extension agent in person in Granville County, Brother Rufus, and Gary Stevenson, who's joining us for the first time this morning from Spectrum News One, the chief meteorologist over there. So, Gary, you've done a great job.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I love doing it.
You fit in very well.
Oh, you guys are, it's easy to fit in with you guys. You're as crazy as I am. So we're all good.
Just folks around here.
Well, Billy. Mike, let me mention our friend Andrea Corona, executive producer of State Lines.
Yeah.
She's out there, great show last night. You were going to call in, Andrea. She has, Johnny, a orchid, and it's beautiful, 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 but she says there's some kind of little bugs down in there, and she doesn't want to do anything that might harm the beauty of the orchid.
Yeah, because they don't bloom that often.
I said, what are they? And she said, little bitty, tiny, tiny bugs.
In the bloom or in
No, down in the pot, the root. And she said, I don't want to mess with it. I don't want to do anything that might hamper that beautiful, beautiful bloom. And I don't know what kind of bugs they were. Maybe they were little, tiny, mini ants. I don't know. Maybe. I've seen ants on orchids
because a lot of times it's just bark you're growing orchids in pretty much for drainage.
Right.
If it's, I don't know. Fungus,
well, is there anything
already
she can safely put on it? Said that. I said, are they bothering you? She said, no. I wonder what they are, and I don't like them in there.
Well, without knowing what it is, it would be hard to say what to treat them with.
Yeah, she needs to send you a photo of them or something.
Yeah, she could send a photo. You know, if it's a larvae, she could maybe drench it with Bacillus thuringiensis, the BT product. Yeah. If it's a larvae, yeah, that would probably take care of it. It's a biological.
I told her, so definitely don't pull it out of there. No.
Yeah.
Where it is.
Yeah.
Well, if you're out there, Andrea, call us.
Let's
tell us exactly what the problem is.
Yeah.
We've got several people have been waiting a while. Billy, good morning to you. Out at the farmer's market, how's everything?
Everything's going good.
So you got plenty of varieties of peaches. It's kind of the variety of week.
There's peaches. I walked through there earlier and looked, and it's just amazing to me, all the different peaches from different places across North Carolina.
And do you get samples of all of them, Billy, or?
Well, probably more than I could. I like peaches.
Have you had any peach cobbler this year?
I have peach cobbler this year, so.
Whew. Man, that's a so good
mark on that box.
Yeah.
Okay, Billy, got to ask you this: do you eat a peach whole with the skin on, just like eating an apple,
or do you peel it?
No, you don't supposed to take that fuzz off there. You're supposed to eat that stuff. It's good for you. I'm very.
There you go. Now,
it tickles my lips, man.
Yeah. Well, Gary, how do you go on that?
I'm more of a peach cobbler fan. I can see, you know, if I'm hungry enough, eating the whole thing. But I kind of lean toward Mike.
Yeah. Plus, it gets messy. You start eating a peach, get peach juice all over.
Get over the sink.
Kind of like a tomato sandwich.
Yeah. Right? Anyway, Billy, sorry for the interruption. I'm just trying to do a scientific poll about eating peaches.
That's really bothering you, isn't it?
Yeah,
Yeah. Have you been asking everybody who's come into your office about
certainly,
that lately?
Certainly.
Well, what about Johnny? I mean,
I'm a peeler. Okay.
Yeah.
I will peel.
It's kind of itchy, too, isn't it? That fuzz.
Yeah. I mean, I understand it's probably got fiber or something in there. But
it's the best fiber in the world.
But I'm a peeler.
Y'all are cannibals. That's all there is to it. So, Billy, what else you got under the farmer's shed? You got butter beans and peas?
We've got butter beans and peas and squash, cucumbers, potatoes, figs, watermelon, cantaloupe, other types of melons as well, cut flowers. I'm pretty sure we might even could find Rufus some kale under here.
Oh, kale.
He was taking a drink when you said that.
I was worried that something was going to happen there.
Have a drink, brother.
It's probably too early for pawpaws in the video.
Joel, did you say something? 2 minutes left. All right. We'll hang you over there, Billy, but keep going. What else you got under there?
Oh, let's see. Think right off the top. Peppers. There was a large variety of peppers. All them sweet peppers and hot peppers alike. So many different colors. I mean, it's just amazing looking down through certain vendors were have.
Mm-hmm. So good supply of those.
Yeah.
And you got plenty of plants?
Got plenty of plants. I just sit here and watch a truckload of boxwoods.
Rolling. Oh, we were just talking about boxwoods. Lady wants to move some she's had in the ground for 45 years, which is going to be a mammoth undertaking, but I'm sure she can find somebody to.
Maybe she could talk to one of the vendors out there about how we dig it and transport it to Blowing Rock.
That's another option, certainly.
That is, because that is one thing that I do like about the farmer's market is it's an educational event.
And we all need some education. That's the truth.
Yeah.
About flowers and you can't get too much information about them. Up in the market shops, how good does it smell this morning, Billy?
I walked in there and I went in down there by the coffee this morning instead of by the honey buns. I went in by the coffee this morning.
Oh, okay. And down at the other end, 321 Coffee, of course, down at the other end is the bakery, and they're making fresh cinnamon bread. We'll come back on that note and talk more with you and talk to Doris and Sonny and all kinds of folks on the Weekend Gardener as we're quickly running out of time. All right, we're back with Billy out at the State Farmers Market, and we're going to get to Doris and Sonny. Sorry you haven't waited so long. We all get just so long-winded. Billy, we're up at – we just stopped to buy some cinnamon bread, hot cinnamon bread. And so hot that they are hesitant to put it in the plastic bag because, you know, it just steam up. So that's just melting your mouth, right?
It is.
Yeah.
You make me want one of them.
And they got ice cream. They got apple, not apple, but orange apple juice, orangeades.
Orangeades, lemonade.
Yeah, all of that stuff.
Well, Billy, a friend of mine sent me a picture this week standing before the Rufus hot dog sign.
Yep. I was working my way down there.
But the Market Grill. From one end to the other real quick.
Yeah. What is that, Rufus?
I don't know.
Is that a new theme song for your show?
I was trying to find a picture to show Gary of the Rufus dog sign.
Yeah. So, they do serve Rufus dogs.
Oh, my God. Somebody's added music to my...
They've added music to it?
Who did that?
Don't look at me. I've never touched your phone.
Woo.
It's very catchy. Very catchy.
Yeah.
It's kind of a...
I had one of you and me and Ann at one time we went to this... I just saw it when we were flooded out at the...
Wine festival. Yeah, downtown. I thought we were
sitting there, and all of a sudden,
away.
Gary, here comes the water.
Yeah, it was getting deeper, deeper. It was coming up over the curb a little bit, and we were sitting there. They were all that electronic equipment, for one thing. But yeah,
it gives you a warm and fuzzy feeling.
I know it does. It does. You got to keep going. Did somebody add music to that picture?
Oh
too?
Yes. No, it's now picture music. Picture music.
You need to get Cheryl to look
at
your assistant.
No, it's been a poltergeist.
Yeah. So,
but Billy, anyway, I had somebody sent me a picture standing before the Rufus sign, and they had never visited the market before, and they gave rave reviews to the Rufus dog.
Yeah, it's good.
It is good.
And they have other things there, but I think certainly.
May I ask what's on the Rufus dog?
Mustard, salt, chili, and onions.
I'm sorry, what now?
Mustard, slaw, chili, and onions.
Oh, okay. All right.
Pretty standard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a North Carolina hot dog, basically.
It's got to be a red wiener.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's... Yeah.
We talking about a bright leaf hot dog?
Bright leaf.
Yeah, we are.
Absolutely, yeah.
We are.
So
you mentioned ice cream and peach cobbler. Do you put those two together, Billy?
I don't know. They got peach cobbler out there somewhere, don't they?
Not there. They do at the restaurant, but they got those... Peach Jacks, and you can get some ice cream on one of those Peach Jacks, and it would be about the same.
Yeah, like Applejack Peach.
Well, my friend Judy Montague that sells the desserts down there, she does the strawberry pie in a jar, and I wonder if she can do the peach cobbler. I think she does.
I don't know, but you could gain, if you ate some of Judy's fixings, you could gain 400 pounds in a week.
Real quick.
Yeah.
And she's just as thin as a rail and pretty as ever.
She is a pretty lady.
Known her and her family for over 50 years.
Yeah. So, Billy, you got Super Sod out there, and if you need some help with your fescue lawn, you'll be able to put out some fescue sod. And if you want to go ahead, you can go ahead and put out some warm season grass sod because you wouldn't get good seed production right now from warm season seeds.
Yeah.
The grasses. And, of course, the restaurants, besides the market, the famous Farmer's Market restaurant, where I ate last Friday after a colonoscopy.
Oh, my.
Went right to the Farmer's Market. That's where I went. It was great.
I have a gift card here.
You haven't used it all up yet?
Not all of it yet.
All right. Well,
not
good.
All of it yet.
You can get gift cards out there.
You know,
that's a great
came
gift.
A very famous broadcaster friend of mine.
Named
Mike Raley.
Yeah, right. Famous.
Hall of Fame.
I did achieve that.
Yeah.
So, Billy, you got everybody's eating out there right now, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you want to see that famous guy, I'm assuming he's going to be at the farmer's market on the 16th.
Yeah. We'll be there. We'll be there next week with the show, and Nelson Cox will be with us, and whoever shows up, I suppose. Brother Rufus will be there.
I hope these sunflowers last till next week. I believe they will. They are.
Oh, beautiful. They're gorgeous.
Yeah. Y'all grew some sunflowers out there.
Just gorgeous.
Yeah, over by the Lake Wheeler entrance.
Yep.
And yes, people keep coming down here. They walk down here and take pictures and rub around on them and all those smiling sunflowers.
They roll around on them?
Well,
is that what you're saying? What the heck?
They ain't laying there.
They're causing disturbances out there.
They get up there and put those sunflowers side their face and get pretty pictures.
So, yeah, you got that. You got Kemp's Seafood over there. Seafood it opens up at 11, and all you can eat, it seems like. Yeah. When you get a serving of something, it's big.
And he's up till 7 o'clock, so that's plenty of time to get up here and get you a plate.
Because
you're
going
to take something home with you.
Yeah.
You always have to.
Always.
So it's just a wonderful place to go. It's a destination.
Mm-hmm. We got a couple other things. Let's see, when y'all are here on the 16th, Logan's will be having a store-wide 20 to 80% off sale.
Wow, that sounds nice.
That's for good at Logan.
I'm sorry we missed Watermelon Day. Billy,
222.5 pounds. Whew. That's a watermelon.
That is a watermelon. They won some money, too. Hey, Billy, thank you, buddy.
Yes, sir.
We'll talk to you later. Maybe see you next week.
All right, y'all come. Yes, sir.
Bye-bye. All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up, and I promise Doris will get to you've waited so long. All right, we're back on WPTF. Doris is with us. Doris, I apologize profusely. We're just so long-winded, and my program director 40 years ago said, keep the call short. And I obviously have not listened to him, but I'm still here.
Well,
but I apologize. You're a real trooper. How can we help you?
I think people enjoy hearing it, so I have two questions.
So. Yeah.
I have one about plants and one about poison. But the first one I have is, how do I get in touch with J.C. Knowles? Do you have his website?
He doesn't have a website. He.
I thought he had a newsletter.
No, I can. If we'll have to put you on hold again at the end of your call, and I can give you his email address.
All right, that would be wonderful.
I do have that, but. That's about it.
Okay, well, my question about plants is, what is Creeping Jenny? What does it look like?
It is a wonderful plant. It is, and it has an extraordinarily lime green color.
Chartreuse.
Yeah, kind of chartreuse.
In the sun and the shade, it does green up a little bit.
Yeah, and it. I think it probably works a little better in sun, not necessarily full sun.
It does better. More sun, the more yellow and intense that yellow is going to be.
And it has a very shallow root system, so it you can plant it. I know Gerald Adams planted some around a big oak tree at the governor's mansion, and it's very striking against that dark bark.
Yeah.
It's a nice ground cover.
Yeah.
If some of it falls on the ground, if some of it falls on the ground, you'll have it there next year.
Yeah.
It comes back every year.
Yeah.
But it like most plants, don't like wet feet, so it will go away if you have it in a wet area. Yeah. But it's a very nice addition.
How thick are the leaves?
Oh, they're about the size of the end of your finger.
Yeah, it's tiny, and it's very extremely low growing.
Yeah, it just very, yeah.
So, are the leaves thick or thin?
No, they're thin. They're not real. They're not
very
succulent.
They're not very dainty.
Yeah.
It would dangle down from pots. I have some in pots.
Yeah, it will do that.
The ground,
which really looks nice in a container. If you need something to go besides ivy to go over the top side of a pot.
So it's is it Does it live through the winter?
It dies back.
But it comes back.
Yeah. It'll come back when the temperature in the soil gets up to a certain temperature, it will come back.
Okay.
If it's in a happy place, it will do that, yeah. But I think it needs a little more sun than shade.
Yeah, okay.
To really look good and to bring out that wonderful color.
It does.
Do you have any creeping Jenny?
Do not.
Okay, that's a great addition.
Yeah.
To a landscape, I think.
Well, mine grows in gravel.
It's
a little gravel place I wanted to cover up. Creeping Jenny is perfect.
Yeah.
I've just got some under trees.
Very drought tolerant. So it is good under trees because it competes with root systems very well.
I'm sure you could get some of our friend Phil Campbell, Campbell Road Nursery.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure that she would have some.
The second question is, what is Optera, OPPTERRA, and what is it used for, and what are the cautions about it?
Spell that one more time.
OPPTERRA. Optera. OPPTERRA.
I am not familiar with it.
I'm drawing a blank, Doris. What do you understand it is?
Well, somebody has sprayed that close to my property, and I'm concerned about it.
So there's a chemical of some.
Oh, I thought it was some kind of a plant you were talking about. I was drawing a blank.
No, it's a chemical.
Wow, I don't know.
I don't know Optera.
Well,
I guess it kills vegetation. Maybe it's used. I don't know.
Yeah,
if,
it does look like.
If the state uses any or.
They're like a Roundup. Doris?
Herbicide.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's my assumption that it's being used to kill weeds or to keep them under control or grasses, but I was wondering if it might also have something in it for fire ants.
I would not think so. If it's a herbicide, I wouldn't think it's going to do any insecticidal.
Yeah. I mean, do you have... problems with fire ants, or?
Well, they're just now beginning to get started in North Carolina, pretty big.
Well, we've had them for years. I know out on our family farm, they were all over the place at one time. I haven't had any in my yard, but there's some out here in the parking lot, or there were.
Yeah, we've got them at this TV station parking lot
as
well.
They're all over the place.
Yeah.
Well, I was just concerned about the proximity. Thank you for your time, and I enjoy the show.
Well, thank you so much, Doris. If we find out any more about that, we'll let you know.
Thank you.
Bye.
Mike, real fast, something I found that was good for fire ants is Ortho makes a powder that you put on the hill, Acephate. And the ants take it down in there. And that's what I've always used.
Acephate works real well. Yeah. Acephate. You can use drenches by Fenthrin as a drench.
Right, and you can also encircle the hill with it, and they kind of walk through it and take it, and it's that.
And the baits, if you have a large area and a lot of mounds, baits work real well just for large spaces. If you just have one or two mounds, the drenches or the acephate, that works well.
Let's go to Joe. Joe, thanks for waiting. Good morning.
Yes. Well, I wanted to help Doris out on the fire ants. My mother-in-law's place at Raleigh Country Club there on the 18th hole, we had fire ants all over that 2.5 acres there, and you fight fire with fire. I want to tell you what you do. You get lighter fluid in a match. And
I know that was certainly one of the old ways. I'm sure the city of Raleigh would.
If you don't have pine straw and other vegetation to worry about,
you just got
a sandy plain of scrub grass.
Yeah,
you keep a hose nearby if you were afraid.
A wonderful suggestion.
But there's nothing more enjoyable. Really, you pop a 16 ounce and a little lighter fluid in a match. And
why not a grenade?
Hey, I was thinking a nuke. I mean, you know.
I'm going to tell you, if you've ever stepped on a nest of fire ants and they went up your leg, you would enjoy doing the what I'm talking about.
I'm sure, yeah, absolutely. Just don't set yourself on fire.
My neighbor there, they were moving, and they put a bunch of cardboard outside their house, you know, for the town here. You know, I'm living the life of Carver over here, and we were waiting for them to pick up that cardboard, and for some reason, they picked up everything else but that cardboard. So I went over as a good neighbor about a month later and said, I think I'll just remove this cardboard. They've moved away. House is for sale. I'll, you know, clean up the neighborhood. And I thought, I'll just throw it back in my little truck here. And I lifted up that cardboard, and you know what happened, don't you? Wasp nest. And they went after me all the way back to my house. I would say a good 65, 70 yards, and I think they stung me 65.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man.
But I lived through it.
Well, that's amazing.
Well, you know, you keep a little bourbon around with an incident like that.
Pour a little on the arm and drink
a little on the arm and a lot in down the throat.
Yeah,
and then you get in the tub with salt, you know.
Epsom salt.
Yeah. Yep. Now, Doris also mentioned a chemical number. Was it BR-549?
BR-549 is incorrect, sir.
All right. I was going to ask you in your sample, but
is not it.
But I wasn't sure. Rufus, have you ever had red relish on your dog? You need to add some relish to that dog.
Yeah, you use any relish, Rufus, with
red relish,
with mustard, slaw, chili, and onions? Have you tried relish?
No, I have not.
Relish is real good.
My dogs between Castle Hayne and Rocky Point down the way to Wilmington.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know the old 1920s. Paul's hot dogs, but that's what they're known for. The red relish, they invented it during the Depression as a meat substitute for chili, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I will try a little relish.
I think you'd like that,
next
Rufus.
Time. I've eaten relish on the hot dogs before, but not with the sweet Rufus combination.
It's got to be the sweet relish. But have you ever been to Paul's hot dogs? I'm sure you have, right?
I certainly have.
So you know what I'm talking about. You know, I met Paul. He passed away about 5 or 6 years ago, but he was a big NASCAR fan, you know. But
yep.
Paul told me the story, and I'll get off the air. This will be real quick. A UNC fraternity got on a bus, and they went to Paul's Hot Dogs from Chapel Hill. And he was so impressed with that, and the head of the frat said, you know what? We're not even going to the beach. We just came down here to get Paul's Hot Dogs.
How about that?
All right, so you're going to have to do a Rufus to the second power with that red relish, okay?
All right, we'll have to try that sometime. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe, you're good.
Appreciate it, buddy. Watch out for that fire.
Every day's a gift.
It is.
Light fire with fire.
Yes, sir. So, bye-bye. Sonny is with us. Sonny, good morning. Oh, there you go. Yeah, we just need to talk to Sonny.
Joel's
we're in shifting producers here. Do we have Sonny with us? Hello, Sonny. Well, Sonny's on the line there, guys. All right, let's try it again. It looks like it's there we go. There we got it. Hey, Sonny. Yeah, we got you now. We got you now.
All right, buddy. That's good to know. Glad to know you guys can hear.
Yeah, how can we help you, Sonny?
Well, I got a couple of things for you. Mike, you know, I don't know if you remember me or not, but I helped with the Boy Scouts right across from your mother-in-law's down there in Pittsburgh, and I found a jar of relish from Miss Jean in my back of my pantry the other day.
Are you kidding? Wow, now that was quite an operation. My mother-in-law would have ladies from the community, and it was a big, huge operation. They sold it at the church bazaar.
At the Methodist church.
And it's no telling how much of that stuff. My wife still makes some once in a while, but, you know, that stuff will last forever.
Oh, you ain't kidding. So I found a jar in the back. So I plan on taking it and bringing it up there one Saturday and finding you guys and dropping it off with y'all in case you didn't have one. But it's got her writing on the top of it.
Oh, wow. Good. Well, wow.
What an extraordinary woman. And of course,
well, my best will love that, won't she?
Yeah. Of course, Tom Reeves and Gene.
Tom and my granddaddy were buddies. My grandparents ran the little store there in town right below the Exxon station.
Oh,
well,
wow.
It was called Esso.
Yeah.
Bill Store.
How about that? My father-in-law was the smartest man I ever met, I think. He was just so intelligent.
Oh, yeah. Him and Braxton boys would get together and they'd fight over that and Lynn Mann.
How about that?
They'd fight over who had the best cows.
Yeah, I bet so. Yeah.
Do you remember Cecil Williams?
Oh, yeah. Dear Lord, yeah, I remember Cecil.
Oh, Cecil.
How could you forget Cecil Williams?
Cecil was my buddy.
Yep. LC used to drive that big old Lincoln around town. And everybody's like, why is his driver's side door so brown? I said, because he spits tobacco out of it.
he spit tobacco in the seat, in the seat. Floorboard, too. And one time he was visiting me, Joe, and he tried to make a U-turn to go into the driveway, and he got whacked. Yep. He just drove on.
Probably didn't feel it.
I had the biggest car I've ever been in my life, and the stinkiest car.
If it wasn't full of tobacco juice, it was full of cigar smoke. Somebody
Oh, yeah.
And he was in the oil business, wasn't he?
Oil. LC Williams Oil Company.
I bet he started some fires.
Right there next to Grandma and Granddad's store. My mom and dad and my grandparents' store. Right there next to it.
We're running out of time, Sonny. You got a question?
I do. I've got some crepe myrtles, and one of them has just went crazy here this year. I cut it back, and it's blooming. I want to do cuts off of it, and I want to re-root them.
Johnny?
Yeah.
Y'all got any suggestions? If I can cut them off, do I do it now or do I wait until the fall? Or
you can prune them now and do that. I'm just trying to think. Probably like a semi-hardwood cutting is going to be best for them. So not when it's real, not the newest growth on it, but as it gets a little bit hardens off a little bit or gets a little down in on the stem a little bit further from that newer growth, is probably your best place to do the cuttings from. But
be sure and use root tone.
Yeah, I would root
tone. I probably need to wrap it and put root tone on it, right?
Yeah. If you can get a root tone, some hormone it.
I plan on putting them down there in front of the old Boy Scout building right across from your mama's, your mother in law's place there, Mike.
So, all right.
So I plan on growing them there. But I got one last thing. Rufus, you remember the first time you met my brother Percy? You probably don't. State Fairgrounds.
Percy.
You walked in with the sod master, the sod father.
Sod father, yeah.
Percy was up there doing an impression of Jim Graham because he was working for the police up there at Capitol Inn before he came to chief in Pittsburgh.
Oh, my goodness.
Boys and girls, we're going to have the best damn state fair we're ever going to have this year. And he was walking around with a black marker in his mouth like he had a cigar. And he walked up behind him and he goes, are you done? Percy goes, I think I just got fired.
No, he probably appreciated it. Everything's going to be all right.
Yeah.
So, anyway, look, hey, it's good to talk to you guys. And, Rufus, you still owe me lunch. I bought you last time at the City Club.
All right, okay. Sonny.
All right.
All right, Sonny.
Johnny, thank you so much, buddy. Thank you, Sonny. Johnny, thank you. Brother Rufus, thank you. We'll see you at the farmer's market. Gary, thanks.
Hey,
come back.
Hey, man.
Anytime.
Hey, you send the invitation. I'm here.
All right, buddy. All right. Thanks, everybody. Yep. We love you so much, and thanks for listening.
We'll be back next week. Thanks, you are, Mike. Okay.